homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Another live edition of Blacklisted Radio. It's good to be back. I'm your host, Doug Owen. It's the 29th day of October 2017. I'm the senior editor of blacklistednews.com, from which we will draw almost all of the stories that we talk about tonight. It's a two-way conversation. We do this each and every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can call into the show if you'd like to. We'll chew on some of the stuff that we're going to talk about. 800-313-9443. Big shout out to our friend Sean down under, who is broadcasting this show. There it is. My plug for 107.9 FM down there, somewhere around, what is the name of the town there? Well, it really doesn't matter, because most of the listeners of this podcast are probably listening via the internet. You can also download the show via YouTube. That's probably one of the more popular platforms that you can find. Stick my name into your search engine. You'll find a lot of stuff, and just go to blacklistednews.com, and there's tons of news, tons of topics, things to get into. Of course, Halloween is almost upon us, and, well, there's ghosts, there's ghouls. There's plenty of things in politics that we're going to talk about. One of the things that I think is particularly absurd is the college costume crackdown that's ramping up across campuses, of course, across the United States. Cultural appropriation. Dressing like, I don't know, a Hispanic man, maybe an Indian, maybe even a cowboy. If you're a black person, that's probably not okay. Probably not okay appropriate one's culture. If you want to look like a Rastafarian, make sure, maybe you are going to look like a World War II kamikaze pilot. Think about the choices that you're making and how it affects other people. Of course, you know, I had a friend one time that I think he had something that was pretty original. It's pretty funny, but in hindsight, I just think about how bad it could have gone. He was a mammogram. He had this box, and it basically said, "Put your boobs here." And, by today's standards, well, probably by the standards of the early 1990s, probably pretty inappropriate. Everything seems to be pretty judged upon any kind of expression, judged upon the racial merit. And when it comes to the social justice warrior culture, leftist culture, call it what you will, that we see that is so pervasive on college campuses. So I don't know, where we can't take jokes, where we can't appreciate each other's culture for the things that, you know, that you like. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with Hispanic culture. My wife's Hispanic. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of most of the things that people associate it with, the food, the culture, the tequila. I like it all. I'm a big fan of, Hispanic culture. And so, I don't dress up like a Mexican at at Halloween, because I don't know what I'd really do, give myself a tattered beard and a sombrero and a bottle of tequila. I mean, there's some of those stereotypes that I guess people portray. You know, if you look back to the cartoons in the 1950s, the Frito Bandito, the drunk cousin of Speeding Gonzalez. Forget what his name was, but he was an alcoholic. Some of those things, you know, Bugs Bunny, cross-dresser, were pretty prevalent. But anyway, I don't know. Just seems like people are so hypersensitive about things that they just don't matter. I mean, really, if somebody's doing something that's in bad or poor taste, then you judge them on that. I mean, you know, you're like, okay, that's the kind of person you are. But trying to outlaw and legislate and censor people from and basically going out there like a bunch of Nazis and tattling to the administration when people are wearing things that you find offensive is just this horrible like police state mentality. And I think it's really become so ingrained, especially, you know, post September 11th, 2001. It's just this whole idea of using the state against the other people, or on college campuses, the government, which is the campus police, the administration, getting people suspended and going after teachers. Maybe it's nothing new. Maybe that's been happening for quite some time. But anyway, there's plenty of that. I guess one of the big stories that happened this week that we have to talk about, it's the elephant in the room. It's the JFK assassination, the release by Donald Trump of tens of thousands of pages, and I think 23,000 pages in all of documents that, of course, people have been going through extensively looking for information that could shed more light on the assassination itself. So we'll talk about some of the highlights. There are things that are there. I don't know about a smoking gun per se. If you haven't heard the word Potito, then you're in the dark. So the Surgeon General, his name is Potito. He stated on the assassination. This came out of the documents released by the National Security Archive. The first bullet entered the president's throat below the Adam's apple, clearly showing that two persons were involved, with the first shot being fired from the bridge across the parkway in front of the car. To further substantiate this, Potito said there was a bullet hole in the windshield of the president's car. So if you're, you know, into the JFK assassination conspiracy theory research, if you will, looking to the conspiracy, that, I mean, this absolutely does point to, you may have heard about the bullet hole in the windshield and got into that whole forensic debate, which is kind of a moot point, really, at this point on this show. Can't go into all the forensics if you're a skeptic. You know, I don't think I'll turn you. Anyway, I mean, this is pretty interesting, the fact that it's been censored for such a long time, because J. Edgar Hoover specifically did not want there to be conspiracy theories. He wanted this to be Oswald lone shooter, wanted that narrative for a variety of reasons, primarily to cover up anything that may have been you know, somewhat shady within the intelligence agency or the CIA involvement or prior knowledge, all of that, that, you know, this does kind of lead to. So J. Edgar Hoover had his man, and from that point, the FBI had a plan, and the real assassins have never faced justice. One of the things that a lot of people think is the reason that they're still holding out on some of these documents is because the one guy that was lost couldn't remember where he was. The only guy that can't remember where he was when JFK was assassinated, George Bush Sr., is still alive. And apparently, I don't know, this is a weird story, that he was he sexually harassed some lady. I saw the picture. and they had him at the round table of presidents trying to get money for hurricane relief in Puerto Rico and the like, bring awareness to all the things that – all of the recent destruction that we've had, you know, leading up to multiple October surprises, if you will. It's been pretty chaotic. He was there, and he was, you know, his, he didn't look like he had much function of his motor skills. His hands are bobbing. I mean, the guy's 92 years old. He's barely hanging on. If it wasn't for advanced medicine that's afforded to uber rich people like George Bush, I don't think he would be alive. But that's neither here nor there. That's one of the reasons that a lot of people think that they haven't released all of the, you know, the reasoning why the CIA decided to go after John F. Kennedy. JFK files reveal that U.S. officials plotted the destruction of Cuban crops with biological agents. It's not too shocking that the U.S. government would use bioweapons on innocent people to justify an invasion, to go after Fidel Castro, to go after communism. Several of the more intriguing files released in the President John F. Kennedy assassination files have little to do with specific aspects of the assassination. Instead, they involve covert operations that were contextually related to possible theories that were initially entertained by investigators. A special group of military generals and CIA officials met to discuss sabotage operations in Cuba. On September 6, 1962, the group discussed agricultural sabotage, biological agents, which would appear to be natural origin to destroy crops. I mean, you know, we know about Agent Orange. This is just a little bit more. Of course, false flag bombings, murder plots, all of these things came out in this. The Operation Mongoose plot in 1960, the CIA considered staging terror attacks in Miami and blaming it on pro-Castro Cubans. This is one of the ideas the CIA came up with. We could develop a communist Cuban terror campaign in the Miami area, in other Florida cities, and even in Washington. We could sink a boatload of Cubans en route to Florida, real or simulated. We could foster attempts on lives of Cuban refugees in the United States, even if, or rather to the extent of wounding in instances to be widely publicized, exploding a few plastic bombs in carefully chosen spots, to arrest a Cuban agent, and then and the release of prepared documents substantiating Cuban involvement. So, I mean, they already had their patsy set up. They already had this guy. They're going to have papers on him. I mean, you know, this is what the CIA does, and this is why you have to be kind of naive to take what you hear in the mainstream media as gospel, because one of the big things that came out of this is the fact that the CIA was paying over 40 different assets inside of the news media for intelligence gathering, and also promoting, you know, their pro-capitalistic, anti-communistic agenda. CIA paid for a lot of propaganda, a lot of the modern and contemporary art that you see from the 1950s. Many of these magazines, we did a great piece on Blacklisted News from Open Culture that showed some 40 magazines the CIA was, you know, putting out their narrative in. So, I mean, you know, that's why, you know, you should be a real skeptic of some stuff that you hear. So not really a revelation. If you're listening to this show, you probably already are. There was an interesting deal. This UK paper was warned of big news, according to a memo from the CIA's deputy director to the head of the FBI, a senior reporter in the Cambridge News in New England, received an anonymous phone call saying he should contact the American Embassy in London for some big news before abruptly hanging up. So a little pre-knowledge, the FBI gets a death threat on Oswald the day before his murder. This seems like people were aware of this assassination plot and were trying to bring attention to the authorities, maybe to thwart John F. Kennedy being assassinated. So that definitely, you know, points more towards, you know, the assassination theory. At this point, more people believe that, you know, that It just doesn't pass the sniff test when it comes to the JFK assassination. I think that's why 80% of people or some odd overwhelming majority of people do not believe the lone gunman Oswald narrative for good reasons. The CIA also talked about working with the mafia. There's some of those plans in this documentation. Back to the death threat. A document dated November 24, 1963 showed FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover addressing the death of Oswald at the hands of Jack Ruby. "There's nothing further on the Oswald case except that he's dead," Hoover begins. Hoover said, "The FBI's Dallas office received a call from a man talking in a calm voice saying he was a member of the committee to kill Oswald. He said they pressed the Dallas chief of police to protect Oswald, but Ruby was nevertheless able to kill him." So they knew that there was going to probably be an attempt on his life, and they did little to thwart it. Passing a blame game for the coup in South Vietnam, top secret document from the 1975 Rockefeller Commission was also released. It outlined the testimony of the former CIA director, Richard Helms. In the transcript, Helms said he thought former President Richard Nixon believed the CIA was responsible for the death of the South Vietnamese president. I don't know how you say it. It's NGO, No Ding Dem, who died following a coup linked to the CIA. So that's not too shocking, but the CIA being involved in assassinations, that is. Alleged Cuban intel officer said he knew Oswald. This is interesting because it shows all of the connections, and if Oswald was the patsy that we all think he was, he was creating quite a backstory. Dr. Mary's Monkey, a great book that highlights some of the stuff that Oswald was doing prior to the assassination. But a lot of you have already heard that he went to Mexico. He went to this Russian assassination intel operative. I mean, just couldn't be more convenient. At the same time, this is also coming out, and you also have the anti-Russian narrative that's playing out at home. So kind of a lot of outlets are making this, comparison or, this conflated issue that, the Russians may have been behind or had knowledge and held it back from the CIA that the president was going to be assassinated. Of course, Jack Ruby's connections to the Dallas police. An informant told the FBI that Oswald's assassin, Jack Ruby, had close links to the local police department in Dallas. Ruby, whose real name was Jacob Leon Rubenstein, had said to have a good in with the authorities, who were served free drinks at his nightclub. So this was interesting. The Soviets thought that this was absolutely an organized conspiracy, and they worried about this leading to possible war with Russia. FBI Director Hoover's forwarded a memo to the White House in 63 shortly after Kennedy's death. The memo obtained by the Church Committee and classified top secret details, the U.S. sources sense of reaction in the USSR to Kennedy's death. According to our source, officials at the Communist Party of the Soviet Union believed there was some well-organized conspiracy on part of the ultra-right in the United States to effect a coup, the memo said. They seemed convinced that the assassination was not the deed of one man, but it arose out of a carefully planned campaign in which several people played a part. The source said that Soviet officials claimed no connection between Oswald and the USSR, that they described him as a neurotic gunman. Anyway, the CIA intercepts call from Oswald to the KGB. So this is interesting that Oswald was actually talking to the KGB. Then again, the aforementioned creating this backstory of, his possible links. So when he was assassinated, he could be conveniently put into, this narrative, similar to what we have going on with Stephen Paddock. Although the story is ended, there's no more follow-up. We have no idea what the motive was today, But at some point, they want to bring that motive out. They will fabricate much of that for the people in any way that they see fit, massaging it however they want. I mean, if you think that when J. Edgar Hoover was ousted after his, 12-year reign, that, things changed that much, don't be naive. Oswald was being tracked by the – the FBI was also tracking Oswald. This is interesting too. Oswald was being tracked by the New Orleans Division of the FBI in October of 1963, the month before the assassination took place. An FBI report into the New Orleans Division of Fair Play for Cuba Committee said that while the committee had been inactive since Oswald left the city, the Bureau was planning to stay in contact with Cuban sources for any indication of additional activity. There you go. That's the best patsy you can have out there. He's talked to all of the enemies of the United States. It can be used conveniently, like many of those plots to kill Americans and Cubans there in Florida. Quick break. We'll talk about it on the other side. Take your phone calls. It's 800-313-9443. It's Blacklisted Radio.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I was a teenage anarchist, but the politics of just convenience in the depths of their humanity. All I saw was Buddhist ideology.
All right, welcome back. It's Blacklisted Radio. 800-313-9443 if you'd like to chime in. Let's see, I should bring up the board. Okay, good. No calls. So we're talking about the implications for the assassination of John F. Kennedy. What does it matter now, decades after the fact? Not really too much. I mean, what as far as what happened in the aftermath, sure, we can learn from that. There's a great context of history that we should learn from. You know, that we should not trust the CIA. One of the things that I thought, at least this new Vietnam documentary that was played on PBS, really good music. Trent Reznor did a lot of it. But it did talk about how the CIA and the FBI were operating illegally domestically against the people of the United States that were deemed extreme. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but anybody that was countering the state's narrative, challenging the state, forcing the state to move in a more progressive way, more anti-war way, giving human rights to all people, anybody that was pushing against the system was deemed an enemy of the state, and many of those people were harassed. I mean, we all know about Martin Luther King. The FBI sent death threats or basically letters threatening to tell his wife about all of his extramarital affairs and encouraging him to commit suicide. At least that's completely public. Some of those letters. J. Edgar Hoover had a hard-on for MLK and wanted to, psychologically attack this guy. I mean, these type of tactics that they use against people that are in their way, foreign or domestic. So think about that for a moment. That's what I take away from this. It wasn't that, before John F. Kennedy that we were, in some golden era, and not that, that we couldn't have a responsive and somewhat legitimate government that worked in the best interest of the people of the United States, as long as we allow cronies, neocons, and others that profit from perpetual imperialistic goals. For the Fortune 500s, the neoliberalists, as long as those people are there continuing to take us down this path, that's the end will be for one or for the other, whether it's for them or for the people underneath it. I mean, I do see that there's a huge reaction. We're seeing what the IMF, Bank of International Settlements policies, systems that came out of World War II are doing, and the rejection of that, the separatist movements, what's happening in Catalonia with Brexit, with people in the European Union that want more autonomy. They want to create their own laws. They want to celebrate their own cultures. They see themselves as independent. I mean, you see that here in the United States a little bit, Texas, and, with the collects it as people were talking about, the California exit so they can get away from Donald Trump. Ugh. Anyway, Syria, we had some new news. The UN has put out this report, and it was talked about a lot, saying it's proof positive. They've come to the conclusion that Bashar al-Assad used chemical weapons. Now, JFK in hindsight, not too far. It's not totally down the memory hole. Just think about this. This UN commission concluded that the Syrian government is responsible for a widely discussed incident in Khan Sikhoun. An alleged gas attack by air happened in April in an al-Qaeda-controlled area in Syria. It was used by the White House to justify its bombing of the Syrian air base and, of course, weaponizing the Kurds and the ISIS, Daesh, al-Nusra Front, ISIL. There's all those groups. Remember all of those ne'er-do-wells. We don't talk a lot about them. They're just hanging out in Libya and getting retrained, and every once in a while we get some footage from the field where you see U.S. soldiers walking in ISIS-controlled territory with, very little reason to worry. So it makes people wonder. We'll talk more about this gas attack and who's responsible on the other side. With you, 800-313-9443. Tweet at me at BLN Radio. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, you can also text me, 800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
And I say, hey, 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 live it like we're renegades. Hey, 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 live it like we're renegades, renegades.
All right, welcome back. It's Blacklisted Radio. So, yeah, there are a lot of things to take away from what's happened in Syria. There's some recent revelations that we'll get into about the Saudi Arabians, the Qataris, the GCC, working with the U.S. to invade, to set up and stage terror attacks by the Free Syrian Army against the Bashar al-Assad-controlled state troops. So, I mean, I don't know how much of this is actually blacklisted. It's definitely blacklisted from the five big MSM companies that control most of what people hear. Anyway, it goes on. The United Nations, the Reuters report really does break it down. The Syrian government of Bashar al-Assad is to blame for a chemical attack on the opposition-held town of Khan Shikun that killed dozens of people in April, according to a report sent to the United Nations Security Council on Thursday. Quote, the Syrian Arab Republic is responsible for the release of sarin, blah, 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 end quote. The report from the UN and the Organization of Prohibition of Chemical Weapons Joint Investigative Mechanism, JIM, said. So when you actually look at this thing, reports notes the irregularities that makes one wonder how its writers could even come to this conclusion. Here's one of the key paragraphs. If you actually go to it, not what Reuters told you, not what you know you heard on TV on PBS News Hour, based on the foregoing, the leadership panel is confident that the Syrian Arab Republic is responsible for the release of sarin. They're confident. That doesn't mean that they have any proof. Doesn't mean that they have proof positive. Doesn't mean that they've done any kind of, I don't know. It just means that what they've looked at, their consensus is, well, you know, we think it happened. Okay. Far from proof. Far from coming to any conclusion. Far from the United Nations coming to any conclusion, but that is what most people heard, and of course this just justifies what has already happened there. The terror attacks, and of course the hospitalization of people beforehand. A lot of really interesting observations that came out of Moon of Alabama. We have posted blacklisted news on this headline, victims hospitalized before a claimed incident happened. It's one of the many faux pas. And we know that the Pentagon, we've talked about it here, spent millions of dollars, I think $5.1 million with a specific UK-based company to create propaganda and U.S., seemingly Middle Eastern propaganda videos. That's their job, public relations, controlling the narrative. And that's what they're doing pretty effectively with what happened with these chemical attacks. And the only reason that I guess I don't think that Bashar al-Assad would do this is because it's against his own interest. There's plenty of other ways that he could attack. Mind you, the U.S. supported groups that are trying to ouster Bashar al-Assad. Now that the U.S. and Russia have faced off over the last 4 years quite fiercely in the Ukraine and Syria, have we seen, you know, this kind of a lull in action? Saudi offered terror attacks. This is a pretty big piece. Julian Assange actually tweeted, since 2013, The Intercept and The Washington Post hid NSA docs showing Saudis ordered rebel attacks on Damascus. That was released over the week as well. Former Qatar Prime Minister says that Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and the USA colluded and coordinated to fund al-Qaeda to destroy Syria. This process of clarity that we're having now is... it's pretty interesting because you see this blockade and all of the groups there pointing fingers at each other. The Saudi Arabians saying, oh, over there in Qatar, they're funding terrorists. And the people in Qatar are saying, no, it's Turkey that's funding terrorists. Really, they're kind of eating themselves apart, trying to blame each other for something that they all do. And that is work with the U.S. and fund terrorist groups that work to their interest. And it's rather than governing, rather than dealing with people diplomatically or going through the legal system, they have for generations forever paid mercenaries to do the dirty work, and that's becoming highly popular even here in the United States. So this whole piece came out. The Intercept did release it. Zero Hedge has a piece on it as well. But basically, it's just this this revelation because Prime Minister Hamad bin Hassim bin Aber al-Thani, or something like that, has all of these documents, and he's come out and shown how, you know, the Qatar government has been funding and turning a blind eye to all sorts of different groups. And the U.S., you know, found a convenient enemy of our enemy who happens to be, well, those are the guys that we originally invaded Afghanistan allegedly for, and why they were empowered and created an opium dynasty in Iraq shortly after Saddam Hussein fell from grace. Well, that's a huge story. But the fact that the Saudis were doing this, not shocking to most of you, but I mean, it has it's brought a lot of understanding. A lot of people don't understand what's happening in the Middle East. A lot of people probably, well, majority don't care because they're somewhat removed, but other people don't really understand that there's a policy. And even you and I out here, where we you know, examine this a little bit more thoroughly, still have to wonder what the eventual end game would be. I mean, even if all of the fantasies of the neocons were realized, what that world would look like. We're far from it. That's chaos, and you know, I wouldn't want to live in Palestine or Tel Aviv either. So interesting. Most people are worried about, you know, minutia or all of the stuff that's happening with Donald Trump. We should just talk about Donald Trump for a minute. I do have a whole section on Donald Trump, and this is kind of will lead us into the Gilded Age that we're living in today, and the domestic tyranny that is expanding. America's biggest private prison company just hosted its annual conference at a Trump golf resort. You know, the cronyism is apparent, and one of the things that's, you know, playing out now is that reports say that Robert Mueller, who's the special investigator, who's you know, appointed and friend of Hillary Clinton and deeply involved in most of the dirty politics that happen on both sides of the aisle, he is going to go after Paul Manafort, who was a liaison to many very rich Ukrainian and Russian oligarchs to the Washington Beltway. He's a fixer, something that he has you know, done a lot of. He's also done a lot of pretty shady dealings. And when you're dealing with, you know, Russian oligarchs, I mean, there's a certain general, you know, shadiness to that anyway, that, you know, when you're dealing with Israeli diamond dealers, all the people that these, you know, multi-billionaire fixer types, or, you know, very, not, there's the elite and there's the Paul Manaforts that are, you know, the pathway to the elite. Worked with Tony Podesta at the Podesta Group, Hillary's campaign manager for several years. And while there, they both entertained oligarchs and brought Russian influence and Russian money into this political sphere. And everything was fine. And the Uranium One deal doesn't move the needle on my meter because, number one, like I always say, there's 100 pieces from at Salon.com to the Daily Beast that will tell you that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and all the money they accepted doing the rounds, doing the same thing, which is entertaining Russians and going over there and talking for, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars and being entertained and flying around on fancy jets is business as usual in Washington. It happens on both sides of the aisle. The cronyism, I mean, that should be appalling. People, you know, wonder why Donald Trump didn't prosecute Hillary Clinton. You know, it's not that far removed from that kind of, you know, I wouldn't, it's not necessarily illegal, but it sure is crony, and definitely, you know, to draw more criticism. Comey, the cozy relationship, him and Mueller and Hillary Clinton and others on the Democratic ticket have enjoyed is, you know, should be concerning. But it seems like there's a push to go after Mueller, I don't think, or rather Manafort as a way to, he's kind of low-hanging fruit, and I'm sure it's not anything that he did with the 2016 campaign. He's just got so much dirt. It's pretty easy to probably go after him for, you know, some shady tax deals, things like that. You could probably go after Trump for, you know, seemingly the same thing. If you do enough business, you know, do big enough business, it just becomes the cost of doing business to, pay off people. And that's how things get done in a lot of places outside the Beltway as well. Interesting. Well, you know, all the speculation about this Trump dossier, the P-gate thing, Pissgate. Where was the funding? Was it Hillary Clinton? Was it Democrats? Was it the Podesta group? Was it, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski? Who did it? Who wanted him? Was it Debbie Wasserman Schultz? No, it was the Washington Free Beacon. This whole thing came out from this group that puts out that's highly, popular in the right wing media. I see lots of articles and have actually published stuff from them that I thought was particularly interesting. Not that you necessarily support their ideological or political beliefs, but Human Rights Watch puts out good stuff, and so does the John Birch Society. You know, I'm not all in with either of those groups, but some of the funding that they get to do research, is interesting. But anyway, the Washington Free Beacon, this is confusing. They were going for Marco Rubio. Of course, Paul Singer, who is a neocon leader, was deeply involved in this. Now, the neoconservatives have pretty much been appeased, I think, by at least the military that's kind of running the junta, I think, that's behind Donald Trump and his policy. It's Mattis, it's McMaster, and a lot of guys at Goldman Sachs and a lot of guys from the Defense Department that are now in charge of the show and with what's happening on the ground in Syria and dealing with Russia. I think that Donald Trump's kind of become the, he's relegated to talking about the national anthem and, doing things that presidents do, appeasing, consoling, flying around, consoling people because of all the mass tragedies that have happened. As far as his policy, I mean, he's done some things. I mean, opening up healthcare markets to all 50 states, I mean, that's a big deal. That's going to be banning corporate lobbying in any form. That's a big deal. Now, doesn't mean that he's not going to take any money from it. So anyway, RT has been banned from Twitter. And, I thought about this the other day. I was watching some sporting event, and RT had commercials on ESPN. Now, I mean, when I look at RT, I take them for what they are. They are Russian-sponsored news. They're hypercritical of U.S. policy that is not in the Russian interest. They are hypercritical because they are removed from U.S. vested interests. So they do report on a lot of social injustice issues and things, I think, pretty accurately for the most part. There always is that anti-establishment rift that they are pushing, but not any more than what you would see from Freedom House, the National Endowment for Democracy, Voice of America, any other pro-democracy radio station or other media outlet that the U.S. supports. I think that it's pretty benign for the most part. I mean, there are some people that engage in conspiracy theories, which is something that seems to be taboo. You just had George Bush speaking about conspiracy theories and how they're dangerous and that we shouldn't entertain them in that little political roundtable. I mean, the left love him. I mean, he used to be a war criminal. They talked about him as a mass murderer because he's anti-Trump. I mean, that just shows you the conditioning, the psychological damage that some of these people have undergone from going from hating somebody, thinking that he was a mass murderer, to loving him because he hates the new guy that you hate. I mean, it's, you know, this Stockholm syndrome. But anyway, you know, this kind of shows the politicization, you know, that, okay, well, if you want to have a voice and the establishment doesn't like it, well, you know, first it's RT because it's national security. Then it's going to be, you know, somebody else because they're troublemakers. They're causing issues for the government. I mean, one of the things that's happened here that I think a lot of people haven't paid any attention to is this new targeting by the Defense Department against, well, homegrown violent extremists. This came out of Reuters as well. The U.S. government has broadened its interpretation of which citizens can be subject to physical or digital surveillance to include homegrown violent extremists, according to official documents seen by Reuters. So we don't get to see it, but somebody got to see it at Reuters. The change last year to a Department of Defense manual on procedures governing its intelligence activities was made possible by decades-old potential or presidential executive order allowing the bypassing of congressional in-court review. So basically, you know, the deep state, you know, the swamp expands. The DOD, the military are getting more of these powers, these tools that they wanted so much under Barack Obama. And Trump supporters seem not to be too worried about. The new manual released in August 2016 now permits the collection of information about Americans for counterintelligence purposes when no specific connection of foreign terrorists has been established. This is interesting. We'll talk more about it on the other side. It's Blacklisted Radio.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder, and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully, there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
All right, welcome back. It's Blacklisted Radio. Good to be here. Final segment. It's gone by pretty quickly here. I'm not going to lament too much more on RT, but you know they're coming after us. And in a lot of ways, the military, the whole police state that we have been warned about for years, it's here. The U.S. military is targeting U.S. people. They have been for a long time. Just look at Lee Harvey Oswald. He was being trailed and watched by the FBI, so that's not new. In the digital age, it's just easier, cheaper, and more omnipresent, the surveillance. And, you know, don't be the patsy. Don't fall for Craigslist ads looking for people to, you know, join, you know, some, you know, group to fight the man. Be careful of those places. Sometimes it's, you know, a hosted clinic by CIA paid operatives. Let's see. Sandy Hook. Police were told of Adam Lanza's plan to carry out the school mass shooting 4 years before he did. Just an interesting note. 2008, 4 years before Adam Lanza went on a shooting spree in Sandy Hook, the local police were told that he planned to carry out a massacre. The local police at the time and legal experts since say it's unclear whether officials could have done what they could have done to stop the attack at the point they were alerted to Lanza's violent musings. So this is kind of interesting. We knew, but we couldn't do anything, so we need more legislation to take guns away from people. If only would he would have known. You know, that's where that goes. But, you know, it also shows that, you know, having a constant, omnipresent police state where everything's, where basically there's dossiers created to determine the value of you as a citizen and your respect for the state, that doesn't really stop anything from happening. It just, well, it gives the government and the banks a lot of information to use and to extort people with, and you know that's what you end up having, where you have a secret government, a secret police, you have a Savak, you have gulags, and they take you there for being bad citizens. China is recording the voice, creating a huge database of all the voices of all of their citizens to make sure that they're only saying nice stuff about the prime minister and good things about the economy that aren't going to rattle any cages. Interestingly enough, DOD planned solar storm-based national blackout drill during the Antifa protests that are coming in November. According to the National Association for Amateur Radio, elements of the U.S. Department of Defense will simulate a communications inoperability training exercise across the United States on November 4th and 6th through the 6th. The announcement released on October 24th has not been widely distributed to the media because the drill is simulating a total grid collapse and could spark public fear. You know, I remember back when they were having those BART, California, the BART transit protests with the BART Transit Authority. And the police department actually worked with the cell phone companies to turn off all of the cell phones before they went down there to beat the protesters. Yeah, yeah. So technology to not protect you, but to erase evidence for the state and its benefit. Not too shocking. All right, guys, thanks for the time. It's been fun. Go to blacklistedradio.com. We'll have the podcast up in its commercial-free, post-produced version very soon, and on YouTube and the rest of the places. Thank you for listening. Continue to support us. Go to blacklistedradio.com. Check out the donate button there if you'd like to contribute. You can also do it via email, hit me up. Until next week, my friends, take care.